Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Hey, what's going on? This is Thomas Nicholas. Welcome to the Mehmet Total Groove with your host, Tombstone, Josh.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. My name is Josh. Happy Metal Monday. Super stoked for this interview because I have a couple of guys joining me from Nebraska. They're part of the band called the Midnight Devils. They're making their way to Charleston this coming weekend. They're going to be playing My Father's Mustache, this kick-ass little pub, this coming Friday, July 21st. Man, it's going to be a great time. I've rocked that stage many a times myself. It's a great, great little venue. Even better about that show. You thought that was a good thing. Even better about that show. Local Charleston rock band Wicked Love is going to be sharing that stage with them as well. And if that name sounds familiar, their singer Brendan was on the show. Super awesome guy. Super talented band. I love all those guys in that band. You've heard their songs. I talk about them often. They're awesome, man. So you know you're in store for a kick-ass night of rock and roll at My Father's Mustache, July 21st, man. It's coming, man. It's right here this coming weekend, man. Make sure you guys get out there and hang out with us. It's going to be a great, great time. Stick around after the interview to hear their song, Highway 69. It's a banger of a tune. And, you know, while you're here, might as well hit that like and subscribe button, man. We appreciate all the support that we can get, man. Check out all of our pages, all of our channels, all of our shows, man. We love you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in. Let's jump to that interview right now. All right, what's up, everybody? We got an awesome treat in store for you guys. Joining me on the Metal Groove Podcast this week, there's a couple guys from a band that are making their way into the state of South Carolina coming up really soon. Super stoked and looking forward to their show. But joining right now from the band The Midnight Devils is Sam and Jimmy, man. What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, how's it going? How are you today?
I'm fantastic, man. It's hot as shit up here, man. Where are you guys at?
We're in Nebraska currently. We've been here for the last 3 days. It's been pretty hot, but we were just down in Australia, and what? It was freezing cold, yeah.
No way, really?
Yeah, so we froze our asses off for 2 weeks, and then came back here to the States, and it's blazing hot. It's summer.
Apparently, yeah. It's their winter down there.
Yeah, man. So you guys went down there, froze your asses off. Now you came home to thaw them back out to hit the road,
yeah.
Right?
Yep, no sweating, air conditioners going out. It's just business as usual.
Cool. And right on.
We're like a fast food freezer in here. Hot, cold. We're like Katy Perry. You're cold.
Is Nebraska home base for you guys?
For me, it is. He's out of Chicago. So half the band's from here. Sniper and I are from here in Nebraska, and the Jimmy's out of Chicago.
Okay. Just introduce yourselves. Tell me what you do in the band. Maybe tell me how long you guys have been jamming together.
Sure. I'm Sam Spade. I'm the lead singer, bass player, and...
So I'm Jimmy Mess, and I play drums and do substances.
And we've been together now. The band started officially, I believe, 2016. But the first record came out, the first tour, everything really happened for us in 2018.
Cool, man. Did you guys take a break during COVID? I feel like when I get musicians on lately, the trend has been we were on a roll and then COVID hit. What did you guys? How did that affect you guys?
We were out on tour. We actually landed like our dream tour, like one of the bigger tours that we've ever been on. And it was the opening spot for the Choir Boys. And so nice. Leading up into COVID, we were actually on tour and watching it on news and everything like that. Just hoping and praying that it wouldn't affect what we were doing. And we landed in New Orleans, and it was like March 13th or something. And in New Orleans, and it was the day that the world shut down, the tour went away.
And so did that mold and shape the way the album came together? Did that shape any of the writing or maybe some of the riffs that were put into it?
I think what it did is it gave us the opportunity and the time to really go in and do a proper rock and roll record. With this one, we did our first record, you know, just learning how to do it. We did it in Omaha, and we weren't super pleased with the end result. It's a good record, just the end result wasn't what we wanted. So with this one, we're like, let's go balls out and really do this. We got Chip to produce it. We did it at his studio, Chip's Enough. We did it in Chicago.
Yeah, and the good news is during the pandemic, everybody else is sitting at fucking home too. So they all got time.
That's
just say maybe sometimes phone calls phone calls that would have kept ringing could get picked up all of a sudden. So, yeah. And luckily,
we had the time to do the record the way we wanted to do it and the way we thought it should have been done.
That's cool, man. So for anyone not familiar with you guys, how would you describe your sound? Maybe talk about some of the bands that have influenced that sound or maybe influenced
your part. I tell everybody, it's straight ahead. We are a party rock and roll band. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can call us glam rock. You can call us punk. You can call us metal. It is whatever it is. We are a party rock and roll band, and that's really what it is. It's energy. It's excitement. It's unpredictability. There's no tracks. There's no, you know, we have a general outline of how the set list is going to go, but there's deviations, and we just kind of ebb and flow with the crowd, and it's a very... a very positive thing of everybody coming out to have a blast. And really at the end of the day, it's all about having that good time for that night, no matter which night, you know, no matter who you are, sexual orientation, whatever your preference is, we're coming for it.
Yeah. Like, not to sound like a tree smoking hippie here, but like, it's an organic thing. We don't even in Australia, we're in the backstage room, and I would go from one band and be, you know, they're talking, all right, what song are we gonna do? What song are we gonna do here? Blah 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 blah. And then he comes into our fucking room and was like, dude, you think they're gonna have breakfast still open by when we get back? Or man, you know, I got like, you know what you really gotta do is you gotta get the garlic and the spicy garlic donor kebab. That's where the money maker is.
Anything the influences for us and Jimmy and I kind of grew up similar, even though we were on different sides of the country. I grew up in Nebraska. He grew up in New Jersey. But we came from this very punk rock background. Where I started, it was like Kiss. I loved Kiss. I loved AC/DC. But that morphed into loving the New York Dolls and loving the Ramones and loving these bands that shaped the way that glam rock, like the Founding Fathers, the Sweet, you know, Slade, all these cool bands. For me, that's what really pushed it into being something that I could do and see doing for the rest of my life. Where he has a different story, but it's very similar.
Yeah. I mean, I just grew up fucking doing whatever you got to do.
Influences.
I was always saying, like, for me, it wasn't necessarily, like, especially with the younger kids I talk to these days, say, oh yeah, I heard this music on the radio. I heard this and, you know, I liked it. And so I started getting more. I got into the music I'm into, the punk rock, Ramones, New York Dolls, that kind of shit. Because that's what was around when I grew up. That's who I hung out with was, you know, that kind of stuff. So for me, it was more of a lifestyle affecting, you know, what kind of shit I was around. And that's what I got into. And so, like, this band kind of affords that because you do what you do and then you get up there and fucking play. I'm worried about what I'm doing the rest of the day. And then it's time for us to fucking to do that, and it's the spontaneousness of it that I think, like, you know, that I always like to pride myself on being real, and that's what, like, it's for me. It's just another, the band's part of my life, and that's just what another thing that we fucking doing that day. So let's fucking do it.
Yeah, man.
And I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, we have so much fun when we play, is because it's fucking fun, and that's time to have some fun.
That's right, man. Hey, it's all about the chemistry and connecting with each other and with the crowd, man. So
it's a fucking lack of chemistry too. Sometimes it's a fucking, hey, we've been cramped up in a fucking hotel room with each other all day. Time to let some of this fucking I'll teach you to fucking leave the toilet seat up, motherfucker. That's something too, you know.
So who's the member that's, it's a 3-piece band, right?
Yeah.
Who, the guitar player? Tell me a little bit about that guy.
Yes. Sniper is the guy that I always think he's like kind of the level-headed one, or the guy that kind of leads us around. I don't know if he's even the leader, but
I don't really say the leader, but he's the what's Mohad? He's the
non-idiot,
the leveling factor. He's the guy that keeps us from going off the rails too much.
Yeah.
as if it was up to me, fucking should we fucking dress like fucking divine and fucking, you know, having fucking flying Melinda trapeze acts in the middle of the stage.
That would be fun. But so you guys are going to be making a couple stops in South Carolina. The one closest to me is a place called My Father's Mustache, which is right in Charleston. You guys are going to Myrtle Beach, too, which is going to be a
mustache rides.
What, like, you kind of touched on a little bit, but tell me a little bit more about what a live show from you guys is like. Is it all originals? Is there some covers sprinkled in there? Just tell me what people can expect if they come out to see you guys.
It's pure energy, and it's pure positive energy. Well, I wouldn't even say that. It's energy. It's positive and negative, whatever it is. It's this incredible push of it just seems like, I don't know, just danger, excitement, whatever it is.
Yeah, rock and roll needs to be a little bit dangerous still. Like, there was this time period where everyone was always telling me, like, oh, well, Jimmy, oh, you guys can't do this because you got to be pro. Oh, this is my favorite thing to hear in all of rock. And I'm sure you hear it sometimes too. Like, you know, hey, whatever you do, we want to be professional. Professional? We're a fucking rock and roll band, dude. Like, you think fucking Chuck Berry was professional when he was fucking smoking the pipe outside of every fucking venue he's ever been? You think the Beach Boys were professional when they had fucking like 300 girls backstage after every single show? Like, do you think Johnny Thunder, G.G. Allin was professional when he fucking, you know, stabbed himself on stage and got hit by a car after? I'm like, no, rock and roll's not supposed to be professional. It's supposed to be fucking dangerous a little bit. I'm not saying let's just go ahead and just ruin everything, but it's not supposed to be a 9-to-5 job. It's not supposed to be a spelled out, fucking made for TV perfectly. You're supposed to not know what's fucking going to happen. And the best way to not know what's going to happen is we don't fucking know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So, hey, playing music, we're not making Christmas cookies, right? We're playing music, not making Christmas cookies.
We play songs from the first album, from the second album. We'll throw in covers. And it's really, like we've been saying, we don't write out the set list. So we kind of know where it's going to start, and we hope we know where it's going to end. And what happens in between there is just, it depends on what the crowd's doing, how I'm feeling, how he's feeling. And we really just call them all out and really just hope for the best, I guess.
I mean, some people think it's funny to us because we think this is kind of how we do it. We're like, we don't have no set list. We don't figure it out. We don't have, like, you know, we don't spend fucking 2 hours in front of the mirror fucking practicing our moves. Like, you just go up there and fucking let it happen. And I think part of that, I think part of that whole feeling of you not even knowing what's going to happen kind of like lends to that, the whole thing. Like, we're on the ride with the people too.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's glam and it's pretty and it's ugly and it's all of it all together.
Like, one thing that this is going to sound cheesy, but if people see our show, there's a point where Sam goes out in the crowd and he, you know, stands on fucking some contraption or whatever. Me and him laugh about it every night. Is I'll say, "What about that one? What about that one?" And he'll go like, "No, I don't want to know what I'm going to stand on yet. But I don't know, want to know what it's going to be yet." Because he usually picks the most rickety, like worst fucking thing that he possibly could, and fucking jumps on and it's about to fall down the whole time. But even that point, you don't even want to pick out what chair fucking we're going to use yet.
Because
it might work. He doesn't want to know if he's going to fall and bust his ass in the middle of the fucking thing.
That's part of the show.
The less tapping that we can possibly do, the better.
But it's loud guitars. It's a three-piece band, rock and roll, guitars, drum, bass, man. We don't really deviate too much from that. You know, we know what works, and we know kind of what the people want to hear, and we know how to throw a party. It's really that simple.
It keeps you in that anything kind of can happen fucking kind of mindset. And when you're on the road in the middle of nowhere and fucking 17 hours away from where you live, it's kind of good to be in that anything can happen mindset all the time, you know.
So sounds like an experience, man. I'm really looking forward to it. I got some randoms here I'm gonna throw at you guys.
The
first one I have to ask, because well, actually, now two have popped up into my head, but I feel like one of the promo pieces or some of the art I've seen for you guys, who's the guy with the spike tear and the face paint and all the crazy stuff that's going on?
Dude, that's me.
Right on, man. Do you do that for every show?
Every show. Wow. Every, and, every show, and like it just never washed my hair. So for the tour, you just let it go, and like the crappier it looks, the better.
That's awesome, man.
And then when I wash my hair at the end of the night, like he and I'm bad. He's worse. So when I wash my hair at the end of the week or at the end of the tour, it's just black, just dirt running out there. Or he doesn't even wash his hair.
I don't really wash my hair.
Yeah, no time for that, man. Next one I have for you guys is you just reminded me of Omaha. So here in South Carolina, Omaha's a big deal for one major reason. That's baseball, dude.
Baseball.
Let me tell you something about baseball.
Are you into baseball? Did you play baseball growing up, man?
I was really into baseball in the 90s.
Sweet.
Dude, 97 World Series, bro. Fucking Philadelphia Phillies. Oh! And, Darren Dalton and Lenny Dykstra and John Kruk and that whole era. That was my shit. I kind of got out of baseball once. You know, it's different than modern era. And
yeah.
You don't know so much about players and there's no personalities as much anymore. But
In Australia, they took us to a football game, a footy game.
Footy game.
Wow.
To experience real live Australian football, and it was
and now it's not rugby and it's not soccer, it's a whole nother sport apparently called Australian rules football.
Wow, was that intense?
It was no pads,
yeah, no pads. It's kind of like football, kind of like soccer, kind of like rugby. I had no idea how the hockey played that game. But,
I'm gonna look into
that. They beat the shit out of each other, so that was cool.
Now, I can imagine. I think they're like, it seems like something they like to do on there is beat the shit out of each other. But anyway, but the next one I got for you is, what's the best band you've ever seen live?
The best? Do you want it first?
I'm trying to think.
Mine is hands down, and I will answer this solidly because it is my band. And you know when you see your band live, you're like, there's no other great. So I saw Kiss, saw Kiss when I was 16, but it was in a general admission type of setting.
Okay.
Kiss and Kiss were reserve seating, not as cool. Greatest show on earth, but there's something about that crowd interaction when you're all standing there, you know, in a giant pit. It was Ted Nugent, Skid Row, man, like Ted Nugent shooting flaming bow and arrows. I'm like, this is so cool. And that was really what shaped my life. And it was still the original members of Kiss. So to me, it's hands down, Kiss has always been the greatest band that I've ever seen.
Right on. That's the first band I ever seen, man. My dad took me to see them here for the Psycho Circus tour.
That was the last good tour. Yep.
Yeah, I feel like it was awesome, man. I'll never forget that one.
Well, I gotta say too that, and this is gonna be a fucking shocking one. It's out of nowhere.
Revelation.
It doesn't necessarily represent my musical taste, but I was at a fucking state fair or a fucking something like that where you like go through and you fucking like look at all the farming exhibits where they're like, oh yeah, this is Palby Jew and Palby Sue, and she grew this fucking excellent ear of corn, and you're like, oh okay, cool, that's a nice ear of corn. And later that night there was a band playing, and I was like talking to some girl, and I pissed her off or something, and so I'm like, oh, let me go check the band out. And I walk in, and there's like five or six people sitting around, and they're sitting around this like two microphones, and they're like in this big old room, and they're just awesome, and they're just killing it. And there's this band called the Old Crow Medicine Show.
Okay.
And they do that you know that fucking guy from Hootie and the Blowfish, that
Wagon Wheel
song.
Well, all we know here, he is like our one singer songwriter from South Carolina apparently, because that's all anybody talks about is Darius.
Okay, so they were the band that originally did that Wagon Wheel song.
Oh, okay, wow, sweet.
And they're old school. They play harmonica and have no electric instruments and shit like that, and they're just a cappella four-part harmonies. Like,
beautiful.
I wasn't really into them, but when I saw them live, I was like, man, this is like real deal. These guys are good. This is the many. I really appreciate that, the no auto-tune, no tracks, straight up. Like, if you're good, you're good. Like, type of stuff. And that's Old Crow Medicine Show.
But you've seen, like, Rammstein.
Yeah, I've also seen fucking Rammstein. I think the best. And that's what I mean. That was my best, the one single best fucking show that that I saw as far as being impressed. But yeah, I seen fucking Rammstein. They fucking blow up fucking shit all over the place. That's awesome. I see Kiss. Kiss was a great show too. I see band
AC/DC.
AC/DC I think is the best live band. I see Tom Kiefer live was fucking amazing. Dictators. This is all really just all hiding the fact that my favorite band, the Ramones, I never got the opportunity to see them live. Otherwise, that would probably be the answer. Honestly, so I'm just making up all kinds of stuff to fill the space.
That's cool, man. I understand that. So if you could tour with any band past or present, who would that be?
Ramones.
It's so difficult to answer that because you like want to say your favorite band, and I think
I would not want to tour with Kiss at all.
Yeah, no, because you want to be on a tour with an exciting band. You want to be on a tour with a band that has fun and goes out and does stuff. And it's like you hear stories now, like maybe Kiss in 77 or these bands back in the heyday.
Yeah, freely, I'll go on tour.
But now it's like you want to be excited and being on tour is such a cool thing that you don't want to sit in a hotel room and do lame stuff. You want to go out and experience and see stuff and be tired and talk to people.
Yeah, I mean, we've been on the lame tours already where, like, people just sit on, you know those memes that they show? They're like, what they think backstage is like, and there's a bunch of strippers and cocaine and stuff. And then what backstage actually really is like, it's fucking two old guys on a phone. Like, Candy Crush.
It's the new porno, two old guys on a phone.
Yeah.
That's cool. 40,
by the way.
Hey, before I wrap this thing up, I have a couple more for you. Whenever you are on the road, you kind of touched on it a little bit there, but what are some of your rituals while you're on the road? Like maybe something that'll, like a pre-show ritual or maybe something you do in between tour stops.
This guy, I'll tell him what his pre-show ritual is. He needs at least 3 hours prior and 3 hours after to take is before and after show showers.
I'm telling you.
I don't think it even has anything to do with cleanliness. I think it just has to do with before the show, hour. After the show, hour. All right, guys? Yeah, do you need to use the bathroom or anything?
See, that's where I thought you were going. I didn't know the SH word you were going to go with was shower. I thought it was going to be English.
You know what I mean? We try and do as much as you can. You kind of keep everything very similar, also it kind of drives you nuts, you know, but we don't have a schedule, and that's a really cool thing about this band is like when we get there we do our thing and we try and eat dinner and we try to go to the kebab stand afterwards and just eat food and hang out and you know what you want to do. You want to smoke some weed, you want to eat some food, you want to have some fun.
I'm always called a man of method man. I'm not a man of routine.
We'll get dressed soon enough so that we can go and watch all the opening acts, and it's kind of like a thing on our part where if we're in a strange city, we want people to go look at the clowns just came in, you know. Like we could walk out of the dressing room and the face paint and everything and people are like, this is either gonna be really bad or really good. I got to stay to watch what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You bringing that up, I feel like I wouldn't be doing my due diligence here if I didn't mention one of the bands that are going to be open for you guys when you are here in Charleston. That's Wicked Love. Those are some of my friends. They're an awesome band. So they're gonna warm that stage up for you guys nice and proper, man. So looking forward to
it. Cool. Very excited to play with them.
Wicked Love.
Yeah. Last two before we get out of here. Well, last one, then we're going to jump to the song. What's in the near future for you guys besides the tour? Anything else going on?
Yeah, we are currently, and even as we speak, we're starting tomorrow to start really playing the songs. Never Beg For It came out 2023, and it went so well that we kind of set ourselves up to in a position where we got to deliver really, 2022, we got to deliver another really great record. So that's what our main plan is now, is like, let's see how far we can tour, how many shows we can do, what countries we can go to, but we also got to write another really good follow-up record and really push the band sonically, at the show wise everything has to be pushed to the limits for the next one. So that's really where our heads are at, is like, how do we keep this going and build on what we've already done so far in the past?
Cool, man. Yeah, so like I said earlier, we're gonna dive to that song Highway 69. If you could tell me a little bit about that song, and then also tell everybody where they can keep up with everything that's going on with you guys, where they can stay in touch, just maybe buy some merch, just kind of support you guys.
What was your thought on Highway 69? Through a song, what does it mean? He's baked. He doesn't know.
Oh, no. I forget what I said.
Highway 69 was the song that it was like one of the first ones we did for the record. And I thought the story goes that we were riding in our bus from Corpus Christi, Texas to Oklahoma. Like we were driving one late night and I was driving. We had full face paint on and we got pulled over by like this Texas State Trooper. And I'm like, this is it, guys.
Oh,
like,
yeah. That's my story. Let me tell you.
Go ahead.
Okay. So. I remember we were it's called pandemic or some shit. It hadn't happened yet, but we had all, oh yeah, no, it had just happened. And we had all recently just got kicked to the curb by our significant others at the time. Me after like a long 9 year fucking period. And I remember we were just talking in the fucking van about how like, you know, oh, this shit sucks, blah, 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 blah. Like, sometimes I just want to fucking, you know, we should do a fucking, like, now I'm on the fucking road, now it's just fucking cut loose, and now fucking we just fucking, that's all you can do is just fucking drive. And I remember saying, yeah, but I don't want to fucking be on highway Route 66, I want to be on highway 69, because I bet highway 69 is fucking cool, man. That's where all the strip clubs and stuff are. And then Sam comes back a couple weeks later and says, oh, yeah, I wrote this song, like, highway 69.
Sweet.
And, I think it's just pretty much just about fucking, like, sometimes you just, my dad always used, it's a modification of the saying that my dad always had to say, always said, he's like, hey, man, whenever shit's having a problem, just remember two things. Left foot, right foot. Left foot, right foot. Mm-hmm. Meaning, just start going. You always keep moving forward. If you always keep moving forward.
See, sometimes he has brilliance that comes out. I'm telling you.
And so, that's kind of what that song means to me. It's like, hey, fuck, don't matter what's going on. Just fucking drive, man. Yeah. Get on the right road and keep on going.
Pretty good.
Where can everybody stay in touch with you guys, see what's going on, help you guys support you?
We're very active on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. All the songs are on Google, on Amazon, on Apple Music. So it's kind of everywhere, and we're pretty good about staying up on it. We have an amazing merch website, themidnightdevils.com. Really like KISS levels of cool merch that we are very proud of, that feels good to wear, that is silly and makes us laugh. And that's really at the end of the day, it's like, look, we got the brand new patches are in.
Oh, that's sick. Love it.
Fat red guy wearing a bureau.
Right. It's just stuff that makes us laugh that we think is really cool. And the imagery is really important to us because we grew up in that era where the Misfits, these great bands with great images. We're in the middle of an interview.
Oh yeah.
In the middle of an interview. See, brilliance and then this.
That's cool, man. Well, I'm looking forward to it. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Stay safe out the road. Most importantly, man, stay metal.
Dude, appreciate thank you so time. Much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
looking back.